This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So now Posey ranges away, and Ballinger throws it so high!
There are some intangibles that those projections failed to take into consideration.
The crowd was going crazy, and there's not much in life that's better than that.
You're listening to Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys with Mark Willard and Joe Shasky on the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
All right, here we go. This is going to be a really, really fun episode because it's two of our podcasts in one. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, Mark Willard. Crawley is with us in Chicago for the Fly the W podcast, and we're going to get together because these two teams are getting together, except for Crawley. I know when I circled this, and I'm coming, by the way, I'll be at Wrigley Saturday, which I'm really excited about. But when I circled this and I bought the flight, I was expecting a little bit more playoff drama intensity in this series than we're going to get.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised when I looked at San Francisco this year. I watched that season you guys had last year, and I was like, man, you know, everyone's talking Dodgers and Padres, and San Francisco inserted themselves into the conversation. And so, you know, interested to see what was going to happen with you guys, and you've had a year that probably isn't what you expected to begin with. For the Cubs, you know, this what we knew right away coming into this season, that this was going to be a tough one to stomach. You were looking at 90 to 100 losses, and that's roughly what they're on pace for right now.
Well, I'm fascinated by it. First of all, you're totally right with what the Giants fans were hoping for and what they got, and there's actually some distaste and anger from the fan base that we've rarely seen through the years. They've dealt with losing seasons like any team, but this particular group has kind of rubbed the fan base raw, which we can talk about a little bit, but I'm certainly interested, especially because of those three trades that the Cubs made last year, one of them coming to San Francisco and Chris Bryant's experience here. As a team is going through any kind of a rebuild, you know, talking about financial issues, there's a lot of that with the Giants right now. They've fallen down to 13th in payroll. I think our city expects them to be in the top 10, and I'd expect the same for a Chicago club. These are two of the biggest markets in America, and so – I think our Giants fans are expecting a lot of money to be thrown around this offseason. And so I'm curious how Cubs fans are still sort of reasoning with what your franchise did last year in sending out its three most popular players and kind of saying that money was the reason.
Well, we looked at it and the extensions didn't get done. And if you looked at the calendar for all these guys, for arbitration, for contracts coming up, it just so happened that everybody came up at 2020. And so the assumption here in Chicago was, okay, we got one last run at it, right? And let's see what happens. And the hope was, you know, keep one of the three, maybe two of the three. You know, Anthony Rizzo was a guy that really was there during that whole transition of the Cubs being a laughing stock to being world champions. He's the guy who catches the final out. So you figured some combination of two out of three. But before the season starts, and people forget this, they traded Yu Darvish to San Diego. Yep. And so you know right away, hey, man, nobody is trying to win a division by trading their ace. That doesn't happen. So right away, that was just like the white flag. And so when that trade line deadline came, it was Rizzo that got dealt first, and that just shocked all of us. And then goes Javi, and then that ended with Chris Bryant. We thought maybe Bryant made it through the deadline. That was right at the last minute. But that was you know, it was shocking, I think, for everybody. It was shocking. And, you know, all of a sudden, this team that accomplished what all Cub fans, you know, those who were with us, those who are no longer with us, dreamed of, just faded away really quick. And for you know, you guys got the 49ers, and you got the Giants, and you had the even year magic. When we were talking about the Bears with the Cubs, we're like, please don't be the 85 Bears where you just get one championship and be done. Let's hope that this team can really do something and put together a nice run. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. Now, that's tough to look at. And the other thing that we dealt with is cost cutting, like you said. But it was not only with the player's salary, but scouts, people that were working behind the scenes at Wrigley. Mm-hmm. So it was a bloodbath. It was awful. And so, you know, I'm trying to, you know, now that it's all kind of passed and you're taking a look at it, you know, looking back in hindsight, you're angry at the time that it happened. And again, still, I feel like Anthony Rizzo should have retired a Cub. With Javi, there was questions about, you know, how long his game was going to, you know, he's such a physical athlete, such a freak. He does things that most people can't. But you wondered how that was going to age over a long-term contract. With Chris Bryant, who you guys know very well, you know, there was no question about how good he was. It was just always injuries. And it was one of those things that, you know, over the course of 162, you're going to be banged up. But it seems to me like he never played his best unless he was 100% healthy. And that's hard to do over 162.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, Chris Bryant, I think there's two things that come up when you say everything that you just said. It's interesting that you sort of say there was no question about, you know, who Chris Bryant was and who he was going to be. The popular thought here is that the Giants, because he was good, it wasn't great. It was good at first. It was, you know, it was solid, like his short stint with the Giants and certainly with where their offense is, the fans wanted him back. But it seemed like from an organizational standpoint, they felt there was a lot of athleticism in his swing and that it wasn't necessarily going to age well. They did. He's said this publicly. They've offered him a contract. They wanted to do 2 or 3 years. The Rockies offered 7, and the Giants just were not willing to have Chris Bryant on their team past his 35th birthday. And so I wonder if your perception at the time of discussing an extension was any different than that about Chris Bryant.
So when we had some extension talks, and it's been one of these arguments between both camps, we had a Chicago reporter report that there was an extension north of $200 million. Bryant's camp has pushed back and said that wasn't offered. And so there was a lot of little things that were bad blood. I mean, the Cubs don't have the greatest relationship with Scott Boras. And with Chris Bryant, there was the service time manipulation where they called him up a little bit later so that they could get the extra year of control. And so Chris filed the grievance against the Cubs that took years to get done. So there was always kind of this feeling that it just wasn't going to get done with Chris for a multitude of reasons. And that was tough because, you know, you got a guy that came in. He was the minor league ball player of the year for the Cubs. He was rookie of the year for the Cubs. He was MVP of the year for the Cubs. And so you're thinking to yourself, this is the chosen one, the one that's going to bring the Cubs, you know, all the accolades and all the glory. And again, it was, you know, he's a really good player. He's a really good player, but the amount of money and the amount of years and the health concerns, I think, are what really kind of, you know, like I said, I think a lot of people wanted to keep Javi because he's electric and he's fun. And Anthony Rizzo was a guy that everyone loved. And Bryant, it was almost like you were just, you know, resigned to the fate that it probably wasn't going to work out just based on kind of some of the bad issues that occurred earlier.
Yeah. And then obviously you look at what's happened with the start of his Rockies career. And it's exactly what everybody would worry about, which is that it's been injury riddled. He's hit over 300, but it's only been 160 at bats. He's only got 5 home runs. And that's the start. Like when you look at that and you think now they've got 6 more years of this. I mean, just as a quick aside, the Rockies signing of Chris Bryant to me underlies that they've got to be one of the most mismanaged organizations in all of baseball. Like, why do you huck Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story out the door because you don't want to sign those contracts? And then you turn around a second later and you do one of those contracts with Chris Bryant, and then he's injured for most of the first year. And it's like, my gosh, if you're a fan of the Rockies, you got to be thinking, this is the stupidest approach to this whole thing. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I don't feel sorry for the Rockies because they just handed over Arenado to the Cardinals. So thanks a lot, Colorado. Appreciate that one.
Exactly. And then the other thing, which this is what I really am fascinated by, because I can tell you this, you know, the Giants fans, West Coast, we do not have the reputation of rioting in the streets and screaming on sports talk radio when things are not perfect. But I can tell you this, I don't think I've ever seen, and I don't think I ever will, the San Francisco Giants organization, if you won a title and then within 2 years shipped out all your best players, I mean, fan base gone. Like, absolutely. Like, that would be, to me, that is unacceptable, especially to cry poor when you're in such a major market and you have such a healthy fan base. It's wild to me that the Cubs did that. And I wonder how the fans have sort of reckoned with that, because that would not go over okay here.
Well, Chicago fans are pretty loyal, and you know, I mean, this, you know, the 2016 team, 2017 they make it to the NLCS, 2018 they lose in game 163, and then they go to a tiebreaker and lose that immediately. 2019 they don't make it; they fade in September. They had injury issues with Baez and Bryant. And Rizzo rolled his ankle really bad. And then 2020, they made it with that extended postseason, but got cleaned out by the Marlins. So what you saw, like 17, 18, 19, 20, they made it to the postseason all those years, but especially 18, 19, and 20, you started to see that development wasn't happening the way that you kind of expected it. And it was the same story in all of those postseasons that I talked about, especially 18, 19, or 18 and 20 and fading in 19. They were in it up until the end. But it was all of a sudden just the inability to generate offense in the postseason. And so the belief sometimes, and again, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of fans who have different opinions. Some people think that they kept on to that core too long, that they maybe should have shook it up a little bit earlier. If you remember, they had Nick Castellanos for a short time, and he absolutely crushed it at Wrigley. Yep. And it was like, well, why didn't you sign him to a longer term deal? It just was weird that you couldn't get the extensions. And so I think if all of a sudden, let's put it this way, let's say Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Javier Baez were out crushing it right now, I think Cubs fan base would have been absolutely livid. Huh. But the fact of the matter is that all three of those guys are, you know, Chris Bryant had a good first half, but then what we worried about as Cub fans, he's had this back issue, this reoccurring back issue. That's reared its head in New York. With Baez, he's had just one of – Baez struggled in 2020, and they said, well, you know, he needs fans in there to get him jacked up. And then in 2021, he was off a little bit. And then there was a little bit of trepidation on that one. People still liked him because he was fun to watch. When Javi's great, there's no more fun player in baseball. But when he's off, oh, Lord, and he's swinging at a breaking ball in the other opposite batter's box, you're just going, oh, God, what's going on? And then Chris Bryant, what we all worried about was the injury history. So, I mean, nobody likes the fact that things are – that there have been – you know, they've gone cheap. And I think that you can start to see it with the attendance a little bit. With the ratings for the Cubs marquee network, which, you know, is a relatively new network. But I think that there is this groundswell of support that's going on a little bit right now for those people. You know, not everybody gets as deep in the minor leagues as I do, but, you know, there are those of us that are aware that the Cubs are looking good, but there is that frustration because when Theo Epstein first came here, he said, we're going to tear it down to the studs. This is awful, but then you're never going to have to deal with it again. And somehow here we are again. But at the same time, I think it's going to be, you know, the question is this a rebuild or a retool? You know what I mean? Whereas before you were talking 2011, 12, 13, 14, until you got to 15, where the Cub fans, I think next year, expect them to be competitive. They signed Marcus Stroman to a really good team deal, I think. And they got Seiya Suzuki. So it was the first time in a while that the Cubs were actually competitive in picking up some free agents.
Seiya Suzuki is someone I want to ask you about. Free agency probably looming for Carlos Rodon as well. Want to get to all of those things and much more on this very special episode combo of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys on the Giants, Fly the W on the Cubs. And let's continue and get Dustin in here with us as well. And of course, both of us, both of our outfits, welcome you to rate, review, and subscribe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/MLB podcast.
All right, Dustin is in along with Mark Willard in San Francisco, Crawley in Chicago. Dustin rocking the shades, the buds, and doing it all while driving. You want to talk about a good 2022 picture of either multitasking or being distracted? This is it.
Yeah, I am driving down the Eisenhower right now, the good old Ike, just left Wrigley Field, actually. Decent little crowd there, and Seiya Suzuki just put the Cubs up 3-2, but that's not why we're here right now. You know, Crowley pretty much nailed it. If the three guys the Cubs let walk out that door had not been doing something worthwhile, I think Cubs fans would have a whole different attitude right now. Plus, as Crowley pointed out, some of the pieces they got back in these deals have already started to show that they're a little bit better than $5 scratch-off tickets. Now, they're not necessarily lotto $1 million a week for the rest of your life, but they're somewhere in between. So I think that's what Cubs fans are hanging their hat on right now. I mean, the offense was broke. Something had to give. Theo said that. It's just one of his famous drops we play all the time on the score. The offense is broke, and it was absolutely broke. The biggest guy that got away that they got absolutely nothing for – and you would love to have right now is Kyle Schwarber. That's the guy who got away. That's the guy who they completely misjudged and mismanaged.
Hey, while we're talking about these trades, I bet Giants fans would be interested to hear a little bit when you're looking about, as you said, what they got in return. The minor leaguers that came to you in exchange for Chris Bryant. And I know Caleb Killian has actually had a cup of coffee with the team. It didn't necessarily go so well. I know his ERA is over 10 in his appearances, but how are you rating the Chris Bryant trade, you know, a year plus later?
Well, there's two guys that were really involved in the trade, and Cub fans are excited about both of these prospects. You mentioned Caleb Killian. I was there at his debut. I was in the bleachers. It was against the Cardinals, and he looked really, really good. After that, he had some bumps in the road, which – you know, you come to expect with young pitchers. And the Cubs are doing much better this time around than the last rebuild about pitching development. So Caleb Killian is a guy that Cub fans are especially excited about. The other guy that you mentioned, it would have been Kevin Alcantara, and he is in low A Myrtle Beach. But he has turned a lot of heads, and he is a guy that hits for power, and he plays a great outfield. So you have two potential pieces, one of them in Killian, who definitely should be at some, you know, whether he's going to be a starter or a bullpen piece. A lot of times with the Cubs, they like to use these guys as bullpen pieces first. You saw that this year with Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson. Last year they had more of a bullpen role, and this year they've been starters. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Caleb Killian in a bullpen or maybe like a 3-4 inning type role next year. So very excited about that. And like I said, Kevin Alcantara is somebody that is on a lot of people's radar, and I want to say he's in the top 30 prospects the Cubs have. So, you know, they're exciting young players, and the Cubs this time around are filled with a lot. Last time, you know, you could go through the Cubs farm system and you could say Gleyber Torres, and you could say Addison Russell and Kyle Schwarber and Chris Bryant and Eloy Jimenez, and you can go down the list, but what you couldn't do is you couldn't name any pitchers. Okay. They didn't develop any pitching at all. And so that was what killed the Cubs, is when these extensions and these, you know, all the arbitration issues came up, is that they were spending so much, you know, they spent so little on those position players when they won the World Series. They put all their money towards pitching, but then you were expecting pitching to come up and it never did. And now you had to pay for pitching and position players that were all making bigger money because of arbitration and because of free agency. So this time around, you have a good mix of young pitchers and hitters. So in the Chris Bryant trade, you got a pitcher and a hitter. And you look at it, these guys are going to come in waves, where everybody with the Cubs kind of came up at the same time. All the young players came up end of 2014, 2015, and is when all these guys came up. And then because they needed pitching, they traded away a lot of other players, and there was nothing to back that up. And so this time around, you see that these guys are kind of staggered in age, like 23, 22, 21, 19, 18, 17. And so there'll be more and more waves of talent. And like I said, that having both pitching and hitting in the minors, both developing strongly, I think that's going to help the Cubs a lot more in the future. You don't have to pay for the mistakes that you don't make by developing these players.
Yeah. And I know also, like, Giants fans will be interested, maybe not love the news that, you know, we don't follow much minor leaguers once they leave the program. But Alexander Canario, who was in that Chris Bryant trade as well, had 31 combined home runs in your minor league system this year. He moved from high A to double A, where he spent most of the year, and then has reached triple A and has a combined OPS this year of 866. So pretty good, and that's something that could certainly lead to dividends down the road. And the Giants fans got Chris Bryant and a playoff run, but it didn't go very far. So that's part of the conversation as well. I'd love to hear a couple of names. One who you guys already mentioned, and he's on your team now. I want to get to that in a second. But at the center of a Giants fan's mind right now is Carlos Rodon. And I'd love to know, as from a Cubs perspective, in the future, your thought on a player like this, but also just because he was pitching for so long in your city, the big discussion, if Rodon opts out, which I'm sure he will, he's got a $22 million player option for next year, but it's been a healthy season. It's been an all-star season. He's going to opt out. The big discussion here is if he's going to get like $30 million over 5 years, is that a smart move? And the way the Giants do business, I think even most fans are like, ugh, that takes him to age 35. That makes me nervous. If the market only calls for three, I'd go $30 million for three, you know, $30 million per year for 3 years in a heartbeat. I would not do $30 million a year for five. Where are you guys on this?
I'm going to let Dustin take this first. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Mark, I could not agree with you more. I mean, first, let me tap the brakes a second. I am thrilled that Carlos Rodon has gotten his health together and that he's been able to grind this out. He's having a nice year for the Giants. I have no ill will for him, but he is not the type of guy that I want my favorite team the team I cheer for to pay $100 million. No, thank you. Absolutely not. First of all, the Cubs aren't quite there yet. And again, Carlos Rodon is not the guy. And if the Giants were somehow going to be in the postseason, would probably, when would you give, you trust Carlos Rodon to be the game one or game seven or this, the must win game starter? I don't. That's not that guy.
That's interesting, but I can tell you here yes, we've only watched it for 1 year, and he's dominated. I mean, he's setting records for strikeouts. He's right up there in the tops of the league. One of the concerns from Giants fans is if you don't keep this guy, who's your game one starter if you make the playoffs?
If you make the playoffs. The other thing that happened this morning on the Mully and Haw show is that David Haw actually put John Lester's name and Carlos Rodon's name in the same sentence, and I almost dropped dead in the Score studios. I said the only thing those two guys have in common is they're left-handed pitchers. I mean, Carlos Rodon is not going to set the compass for the next great Cubs team. But you're right, Mark. This year, he's having a thing. But I just, you know, 35 at the end of that thing. I go 3 years, $90 million. I could stomach that, but I don't know that that would be best for the Cubs. 3 years, $90 million. I think they could do better with their resources of 3 years and $90 million.
Look, Mark, the way that I look at it here is we got a close look, Rodon, from the south side. I mean, just the other side of town. I was livid when the Giants signed Rodon, because I thought he was a perfect candidate for the Cubs, because the Cubs were doing these sign and flip deals. You knew they weren't going to stay with the team. And the thing we always knew is that you had injury history with Rodon, hard time staying healthy, but when he is healthy, he's a very dominant pitcher.
Yep.
And so to me, I said, okay, I would not want to sign this guy to a 5-year deal, which is what he's at least going to want. So I was like, if you can get, what did you guys pay him?
Two-year, $22.5 million per year, but the opt-out in between the 2 years.
Right. And so to me, that was a tailor-made deal for the Cubs, because they have nothing but money. Right. They have plenty of money that they could spend on this, and they could have flipped him and gotten a big return. And they didn't do that. And I thought that was a huge mistake on the Cubs' part. But would I want him long-term? Yeah, just it's a lot of money for a guy that we saw have a lot of health injuries when he was here. And so that was always my concern with Rodon.
Yeah,
if he can get it somewhere, God bless him and his family. I just don't want it to be the Cubs giving it to him.
Yeah, if it's five, I'm out. If it's three, I'm in. That's kind of the line that I draw. But Giants fans, I don't think need to worry about it, because they haven't signed anybody to a deal longer than 3 years since Farhan Zaidi got here, and it's year four. They've been incredibly hesitant to even give anybody 3 years. I think only three players have gotten that. So long-term deals, at least at this point, don't sound like part of their approach. Yet they say that they're out there, that's on the table, they will make those offers. You guys talked about being livid when Rodon came to the Giants. I can tell you I was livid when Seiya Suzuki went to the Cubs. That was the guy I wanted. That was the offseason signing I wanted them to make, and I thought they were going to make. Seiya made some interesting statements mid-year that I guess there was something actually about the city of San Francisco that made his wife a little bit uncomfortable. It's a little bit too, like, he had seen some things on the news about what it was like inside the city, and it was a little bit too much and whatnot. And so that made some headlines out here. But I'd love to know from a couple of people who have watched every game and sort of experienced his first year. His numbers are fine. They're not gaudy. But what do you guys think of Seiya Suzuki?
Seiya has been a great player. He did have an injury that kind of hurt him a little bit, sliding into a base. Things a pinky injury. What you see with Seiya is that you have seen him kind of, it's been this constant adjustment to the league. So he came out gangbusters in April, absolutely lit the world on fire. And then he kind of struggled in May, and then he got injured. And then, so it's kind of been like, he goes through these different, you know, very streaky. So sometimes he's hitting 300-400 for a couple of weeks, and then he'll go to be hitting 100 for a couple of weeks. And it's this back and forth game. So for whatever reason, a lot of times when Cubs get free agents, that first year's kind of a rough one. It's a little bit bumpy. And you've seen that with Seiya. And that's not even including, you know, coming over to a different country, a different culture, and adjusting to a new league. So I've been impressed with what I've seen from him, his base running, his defense has been good. And then when he's on offensively, he's fun to watch. So he's a guy I think that when you see him in year two, he's going to be even better.
Yeah.
I hope Crowley's right. I mean, he's been all right. One of the guys who I really love talking baseball in Chicago is Bruce Levine. And I remember when they made the signing and Bruce said, you know, if this guy hits about 275 and has 20 home runs every year and about 90 RBIs, people, I'm like, what? For the kind of money and the investment, he's got to do better than that. Now, I don't think he's, again, the linchpin of the Cubs getting back into National League contention. He's a nice piece. I think he'd be on a really good Cub team. He'd be a great fixture out in right field, plays some good defense, has some power. I think he's got a lot of good baseball smarts, acumen. He really lost me when probably, how long did he miss? 6 weeks with that finger, at least?
I mean, it's
a finger, man. Come on, 6 weeks for a little finger. And I know the Cubs stink out loud. I get that. And maybe if the Cubs were in contention, he wouldn't be acting that way. But when you're the brand new guy and you're the highest paid brand new guy, at least for this Cubs fan, and I'm guessing the listeners of this Cubs podcast, you gotta at least show up. You know, availability is a big part of it.
What was the home run he just hit? Was that number 12 this year?
I believe 12 or 13. And he's hit a couple in just the last week or so. So the power numbers are not where I thought they would be. I thought he'd be at least 20 this year.
And the thing, though, to kind of keep in mind is that when the Cubs did have all their guys, Baez, Bryant, Schwarber, you know, you had a lot of three true outcomes, strikeout, walk, home run. And what they were looking to do is diversify their lineup a little bit. And so Seiya isn't a guy that's going to give you 30 runs, you know, 100 RBIs, but he is a guy that is going to make a lot of contact. That's the hope, is that the strikeout rate will be low and that he's going to be able to get on base. And that's what they want to do, is kind of be more dynamic, get the ball. And they've done it this year a little bit, but unfortunately they're hitting it on the ball too much and they're grounding into a lot of double plays and stuff like that. But that's what they're looking to do, is they're looking to have guys that can make contact. Nick Madrigal's another guy that they acquired for Craig Kimbrell last year, stuff like that. But they want guys that are good contact hitters, and not, that's what they felt was the problem in the postseason, is all these guys, they couldn't score when, you know, they couldn't find a way to manufacture runs. And I think they're looking more that route.
Crawley and Dustin fly the W. Mark Willard, Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, our special Giants Cubs combo platter podcast here as we get ready for the series at Wrigley this weekend. Glad you're with us, and we invite you to subscribe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, you know, go ahead.
Really quick, you were right. I made the mistake on that. Alcantara came on the Rizzo deal.
Yeah.
And Alexander Canario came with Caleb Killian, and he is ninth in the season, ninth on their prospect list. And he did start the year in Tennessee, but has moved up to AAA. And again, now you got two top 10 picks out of that whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is something that, you know, no one in San Francisco is thinking about that now, but if it goes a certain way over the next 3 years, that's the kind of deal that actually, I mean, it was applauded heavily at the time. And I still would. I mean, Canario was a prospect. I think he was on the back end of the top 10, even in the Giants organization. But that's a deal you make when you're in the middle of a 100-plus win season for sure. But, you know, I could liken that deal to an Andrew McCutchen deal that the Giants made years ago, which turned into Brian Reynolds being a mainstay in the outfield for the Pirates and a guy that the Giants would love to have back. So we'll see. We'll see if Canario becomes that kind of player in the future for the Cubs. A couple other things I want to chat with you guys, because I think that your market and our market are, I guess, two of the three markets that should have a big opinion on this. John Heyman and others have mentioned this, but in the middle of this Aaron Judge home run, John Heyman now has made the statement a number of times. If he gets to 62, that's the true single season home run record holder, which of course wipes away Barry Bonds, wipes away Sammy Sosa, wipes away Mark McGwire. And we know exactly what he's getting at, but revisionist history for me is not doable. Acting like everyone's innocent when we don't know what's going on. I have no idea, you know, sure, we get what Sammy and Mark and Barry, what we think we know they did, but you know, we have no idea what's going on in the world of Aaron Judge to Roger Maris to Babe Ruth. I just don't think, and you've got guys in the Hall of Fame, Pudge Rodriguez, Mike Piazza, and beyond. I don't think you can draw lines like that. And I can tell you that San Francisco spits on that take that Aaron Judge right now simply needs to get to 62 to be the new single season home run record holder, at least emotionally. How does that grab you guys?
Well, John Heyman's not showing his New York bias there, is he?
Come on. John Heyman's a regular on our show.
John's great. Us too. Odyssey Insider. I got it. I'm like, John's great. John's great. But it's his take. I disagree with it.
Well, as long as he's not voting for those guys for the Hall of Fame. And again, you're right, Mark. It's his take. He's entitled to it. You know, the question is, here's the thing. Did Bonds, did McGwire, did Sosa hit all those home runs because they cheated? I don't think so. Maybe they stayed healthy, at least in the case of Mark McGwire. I think Bonds just decided he had to change the focus of his game because chicks dig the long ball, right? We'll go back a couple decades. So it's also ironic. I heard today on the Cubs broadcast as I was driving out here, this is the anniversary of Mark McGwire actually hitting his 62nd home run at Wrigley Field. And Crowley, check my math here. I want to say Pat said 24 years ago. Has it been that long already?
Be 98. So yeah, 24 years ago.
24 years. I mean, it doesn't seem like yesterday, but it sure doesn't seem like a quarter of a, come on, 24 years ago? Wow.
No joke.
It's a great, listen, Mark, this is a great topic. It's very interesting. And that's why I hope Judge actually smashes it, so we can just be done with it, right? Like, let Judge hit 70 this year so we can just be done with it, because then it'll just be about Aaron Judge. And let's hope that somehow, some way, the Cubs can steal him from New York.
I can tell you that there is frustration on the Cubs fans' part, because we've seen how St. Louis fans have treated Mark McGwire, and we've seen how Boston has treated Barry Bonds, yet Sammy Sosa's persona non grata, like he's the worst human being in the world. He hasn't been back to Wrigley, no stretch, no throw, no first pitch. It's almost like they're trying to erase his history. And that's frustrating for a lot of people, you know, my age. I was in college when that home run chase was going on. And for a lot of people, Sammy Sosa was the Cubs from the, you know, mid-90s to the early 2000s. And so the fact of the matter that he's not even welcomed at the ballpark, where it seems like, you know, obviously, you know, you wish – that maybe and to sit there and put that on just the players, to pretend like ownership and other people didn't know what was going on at that same time.
Yeah,
you know, you didn't care when the cash register was ringing and they were saving baseball after the strike. And so
exactly right, Crowley. Preach it, man. You could not be more right now.
There's no reason, like I said, this, you want to sit there and criticize the records, like you said. You don't know what Aaron Judge is doing. Alex Rodriguez never tested positive for anything. We know what he did. We don't know what everybody's doing. And no offense, the more money you have, the better chemist you have, the better drugs you're buying. They're always one step ahead. I'm not going to sit here nitpicking on this stuff. All I know is that, you know, I just wish Sammy would get the same kind of treatment in Chicago as Bonds has been shown in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, and he is still very, very revered, even though everybody is also acknowledges the story and the way that it went. Now, in that conversation, Dustin, you just said something very interesting that I want to dive into, because it feels like you guys have sort of, I don't know if bought into is the right phrase, but you've accepted the fact that the Cubs are at a certain point in building back up after getting rid of all those big names last year. Are you feeling already ready to make an investment like Aaron Judge? Because this is a major conversation out here. Aaron grew up a Giants fan. The Giants have preached financial flexibility. They have it. In fact, if Rodon opts out and the Giants do not bring back Evan Longoria next year and they have the option to not, their payroll that is committed for next year is a grand total of $65 million. That's it. That's the Pirates, by the way. They would need to spend over $100 million this offseason just to get back to 10th place in payroll and spending, which I feel like the Giants should be every year. You absolutely should be in this market, be top 10. So whether or not Aaron would leave the Yankees is question one. Where would he go next is question two. But I can tell you his name comes up on our show almost every day. Do you feel like the Cubs are going to make an Aaron Judge chase?
I would think they better be in the conversation. I mean, absolutely. Ricketts has been on record, Crowley, right, saying that that can't happen again. We can't give Cubs fans the year that they had. So you better be in the market. And again, can you imagine Aaron Judge in Wrigley Field? I mean, can you imagine how many home runs that he will hit? I mean, he might put one on top of one of the rooftops. I mean, so I think they're going to spend. This is a winnable division. This division is not that great. They are a one great home run hitter and one starting pitcher away from winning that division. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win a World Series by any stretch, but that's all they are away from this.
I would say that, you know, I think for Cub fans, it really seems like it's Yankees or West Coast with Judge. So I guess nobody's really kind of gotten their hopes. I remember back when Bryce Harper was, you know, coming up and everyone was reading the tea leaves and he named his dog Wrigley and he talked about how much he loved Chicago. Yeah. So it was like, oh, man, Bryce Harper wants to come. So it hasn't felt that same way with Aaron Judge. Would I love Aaron Judge to be wearing blue pinstripes instead of black? Absolutely. It just, I guess I haven't let myself dream that big yet.
Well, we all do this, which is we try to get in their heads ahead of time. And we did this with Garrett Cole, who essentially has a brother-in-law on the Giants, where it's like, oh, I bet he'd want to come back. He's from here. Like, very rarely is that actually what drives this. We know exactly what drives this. And that's why I keep telling Giants fans, actually, they should be optimistic about Aaron Judge, not because he's from here. If you want Aaron Judge, be the high bidder. That's it. It's not about, oh, who lives where, geography, this, that, the other. The Yankees made me mad. Be the high bidder. You're going to get the player 90% of the time.
I would be happy with Aaron Judge coming there, and I don't care what his dog is named. I'm absolutely, I would be absolutely thrilled to have and you talk about these big markets. I mean, like guys like Judge, like Chicago fans eat that up. We're still talking about Refrigerator Perry 30 years later. You know what I mean? So just like those type of personalities and those type, larger than life figures. I mean, he would just be an absolute hit around here.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Fridge, because I got one more question for you guys. And that is, me and many, many of my Bay Area brothers and sisters are about to get on planes and get our butts to Chicago. Because the appetizer of Giants Cubs followed by the main course of week one, Justin Fields versus Trey Lance, 49ers Bears. I need some intel. I need some intel. I've been to Wrigley once in my life. I've never been to Soldier. We're doing a fantasy draft out there this weekend. We got both games. I got it all set. I got a big party going out there. What are we doing? Where are we going? Give me the intel.
So you're talking about it around Wrigley Field. So it all really kind of depends on what you're looking for. And that's the beauty of Wrigley Field, is that you can walk down three blocks and find every type of bar that you could ever imagine. So you like country music? You like country bars, country live bands? You go to Old Crow. How about beer? Are you an IPA guy, a guy that likes kind of crazy beers? You go to Lucky Doors. If you go to Brick House, you get a beautiful view of Gallagher Way, which I don't know the last time you were out here, but it's this beautiful park area that we kind of have right in front of Wrigley now. Nisei Lounge is the oldest bar in Wrigleyville. If you want the classic dive bar, where you, it's called the Chicago Handshake. You order a Chicago Handshake. It's old style with a shot of Malort. I don't know if you've heard of Malort, but it's something that you got to say that you tried. You know, Cubby Bear and Sluggers. Sluggers has the batting cages if you want to go and test your luck, and they have dueling pianos after games if you want to go there and get a little crazy. Oh man, I'm trying. There's so much to do and see there, and I know I'm probably forgetting someplace, but Bernie's is kind of an old school place that has some good food. You just have a little bit of everything right there. You know, HVAC has live music. Smoke Daddy's has some great barbecue if you want some great barbecue with some beer and some. They had a lot of blues bands pre-pandemic. That's another fun one to go to. You can't go wrong there, but you do got to go with the Chicago Handshake, the old style, the Malort shot chased by the old style.
Yeah, that's definitely on the top of the list. You got to do that. And then really you can't go wrong anywhere on Clark Street. You want to stay by, there's nothing to do by Soldier Field. So you definitely want to take care of the fun and the entertainment value over around Wrigley. No doubt about that.
Yeah. And then what about at Soldier Field or Wrigley? What am I ordering during the game? Is there, you got any special thing, or is it just dog and a beer? Is it that simple?
It's that simple. I've seen your offerings out there in San Francisco, and trust me, man, your options here are pretty much hot dog and Italian beef.
Okay. I got nothing against that, by the way. I know we named our damn podcast after one of the food items here in San Francisco, but I got nothing against anything here.
No. Honestly, what I do is I eat outside of the stadium. That's usually my go-to. I go to so many games as a season ticket holder and been doing this for 40 years. I've had plenty of dogs and plenty of Italian beefs. You can go around Wrigley, and you can go to Wrigleyville Dogs. You can go to Output has phenomenal wings. If you like wings, yeah. Output on Clark, absolutely phenomenal. If you go a little bit north on Clark, Clark and Waveland, some of the best wings that you could have is another great place. Yoxie's has got some good food, but I would prefer to eat outside the stadium than look around inside the stadium.
My gosh,
I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you going into the bleachers?
No, well, we're not sitting in the bleachers. No, we're sitting. We're sitting in pretty good seats here, guys.
All right.
In pretty good seats. Yeah.
I was going to say bleachers have some options out there. They have a place called Hot Dogs that has some pretty crazy hot dog variations named after former Cubs players that are very foodie type hot dogs that people rave about. So that would be the bleachers has better food than the grandstand would be my recommendation.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll go for a walk. But I'm already planning my next weekend, because that was a lot of different options. We will explore them for sure. Guys, this has been a ton of fun. Fly the W and Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys getting ready for the Bay Area invasion of Chicago. Looking forward to being out there, and had a great time chatting with both of you.
Well, we had a great time too, and hopefully the fortunes of both of our teams turns around next year as quick as possible. I would like a rematch of the 2016 NLDS, not the 1989 NLDS.
I'd like to redo the ninth inning of the 2016 NLDS is what I'd like to do.
I do have one complaint about you guys, man. Did you have to do Will Clark night last time the Cubs were out there? I mean, you got to give me some trigger warning on that, man.
They tried to do it a year and a half ago, and this little pandemic thing got in the way. That wasn't the plan. So you got to give us that at least.
All right. I just remember that Will Clark 1989, Will the Thrill. Jeez, killed him.
That's my guy. That was my favorite player growing up. And one home run followed by an even bigger home run. Yeah, it was nice.
man. The boys of Zimmer, that was a fun year for us. But yeah, it's baseball's more fun when San Francisco and the Cubs are both good teams.
I couldn't agree more. So there it is. Rate, review, subscribe. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, fly the W. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, guys.